Your Bibles once more, please, and let's turn them to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. With the Lord's word open before us, let us just begin prayer. Pray that the Lord's Spirit Himself will rest in all. Father and God, thank thee for thy help thus far in the service. Thank thee for the sweet abiding presence of the Lord. We know that thou art here, for thou said, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Our Father, our trust is, this Sabbath morning, not only wilt thou be here in the midst, here to bless us. Father, we know that thou standest in the midst of the candlestick. We pray that even now, in the midst of this church, that Christ will stand. That thy word will come to each and to every heart. Lord, let it come powerfully. Pray, Father, for the intervention of God, the Holy Spirit. We pray, dear God, that thou wilt speak with that voice that will wake the dead. Lord, encourage our souls and hearts. Help us to walk worthy of the high calling of God. Christ, hear us now and answer our prayer in the Savior's name. Israel had departed from out of Egypt. Before them, they had made a passage through the midst of the Red Sea. The Egyptians had followed, only to perish in the waters of that sea. And God then gave unto Moses the law, you'll remember, at Mount Sinai. And shortly after, first anniversary of their emancipation, in the second year, in the first month of that year, God gave commandment. And you can read of that in Numbers chapter 13. But God gave commandment that one leader would be taken from each of the 12 tribes. One man, that he would go and that they together would spy out the land of Canaan. 12 men were selected. And isn't it very interesting that only two of those men are ever remembered? Only two of those men are remembered. The other 10 are forgotten. Their names have not. They are recorded in Scripture, but they're not remembered fondly. But the two that faithfully followed the Lord, their names are remembered. Now if you take your Bible and turn back to, and just keep your finger in Joshua chapter 14, but if you turn back to Numbers chapter 13, turn back to Numbers chapter 13. Here in the verses 17 through to 20, we have a record as to the remit of their task, what they were told to do. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is and the people that dwell therein, wherein they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be, whether they be strong, whether the people dwell in tents or in strongholds, to find also the fatness of the land, the fruit of the land, whether it's fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. This was the remit of their task. 40 days they spent spying out the land of Palestine, Canaan. These 12, they returned after the 40 days, and they bore between two a cluster of grapes from Eshcol. Born between two, the hope of the nation rested upon the words of these men. They saw testimony of the fruit that was there born between them, and surely their hearts were rejoicing. There was perhaps other fruit that they brought. As one of them begun to speak, the congregation had all assembled. They were listening intently as one began his address. And as he spake, why his words, you could see the expressions in the face of the people. Their heart begun to melt. Discouraged. They were cast. They were embittered in their heart. His words, as I say, discouraged the people in Joshua 14. Let me just read to you one of the verses we read. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. This is what Caleb himself described and said. The words, you see, discouraged the people. Here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is reminding Joshua of those days. He is recollecting 45 years ago when he himself and Joshua went in along with the other 10 and they spied the land. And now Caleb, after those years, the 40 years of wilderness wandering, he is yet able to say, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Yes, though these brethren discouraged and caused the heart of the people to melt, I wholly follow the Lord my God. I wonder today, could that statement that we have wholly followed the Lord, if God should spare us for another 40 years, what age would that make you? Be faithful to God. God should say to us, you have only 4 years left on earth. Only follow the Lord. What about your God saying, 4 months? April time. See the grave open. Caleb was a man after 45 years. I want us to consider that statement, because I believe that here is a statement in the verse 8 of Joshua chapter 14. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. There is a statement of a consistent Christian. That's what I want to pick up for a few moments this morning. Consistency in our walk with God. Consistency in our Christian. Are we consistent? Well, Caleb was a consistent Christian. Let us learn, firstly, from his life, the principle that gripped him. That's the first thing you have to see here in his life. Caleb was undoubtedly a man of great principle. Undoubtedly, he was a man of tremendous integrity. At the space of, after the space of 45 years, that here was a man who could say, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. There had to be a principle of grip. I believe that that is displayed in the following. He had an attitude. And that attitude was that, and this is a principle that gripped him. He silenced those voices that declared a false and an evil report. Look at the verse 7 of Joshua chapter 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And listen to this, and underline this in your Bible. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That refers to the occasion when he went. Was sent as one of the spies, and he brought back word as God revealed it to him. Caleb is seen here as reminding Joshua of this fact, who likewise was one of the other spies, one of the 12. And the full account is given in Numbers chapter 13, how that he did silence those that were. Let me turn back to Numbers chapter 13. We will be referring and turning between these from time to time, because it's good just to research Scripture. It's good just to see these things. But back here in Numbers chapter 13, the verse 26 tells us, and they went, that is, the 12 spies, and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, brought back word unto him, and unto all the congregation, and showed him the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, now listen to the report that the spies brought. We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. This was encouragement, an encouraging testimony thus far. But verse 28, isn't there always a but? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, that we saw the children of Anak there. And you read on down. Verse 29, and we come to the verse 30. You know, I believe if you try to imagine the scene, as these men are speaking, Caleb's heart is discouraged. Caleb's heart is distressed because of this false report that is raised. And as he looks around, he sees a rocky eminence somewhere. And it's likely that he goes to that place. And he stands in that. And the congregation see him and their eyes are shifted in his direction. And there as he stands, he says, "All Israel, hear me, hear me." Raises forth his voice. And the verse 30 says, Caleb stilled the people. He brought them to silence before Moses, and he said unto them, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." What was Caleb to do in that hour of crisis? When these other 10, one of them, who was their spokesman, caused shock waves of fear to reverberate throughout the congregation of the children of Israel? They had discouraged them. They had disturbed the people. But here is Caleb, and what is he doing? He is silencing those voices that have brought up a false report. He is speaking up to remain silent. That's what it would be to do, to remain in agreement. It is highly probable that there was a time and an occasion in those 40 days when what they would report was discussed amongst them. And there was one perhaps moved among the ranks of the others at various intervals. He would have sussed them out. He would have found where their heart was. And as he taught them, they began to realize that yes, they were content in the wilderness. They were content with things that they had. They didn't want to go forward. They didn't want to move on into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan. They were content with the where. There was an agreement between a pact between the 10 that they would raise up this false report. One of them was nominated as spokesman. The majority ruled in that. Caleb and Joshua were silent. Now do you see what is happening sometimes, children, as we think upon this? The principle that gripped Caleb was this, that he had to silence those voices that were declared a false or an evil report. They had to speak up. They couldn't remain silent. You know what I want to say today? That there's times for us when we have to be still and to know that God is. But there are other things in our Christian. When a false report is raised, we have to speak up. We have to put our heads above the parapet. We are living in evil and wicked days. There are crises in every hand. There comes a time when God's people, the same principle that gripped Caleb, must be the principle that will grip our lives. And I'll forever remain silent to the things that are happening around about us. Evil and wicked today. I don't have to mention it. We know about sodomy. We know about all of these other cults. We know about all of these other things. We have to be spoken. We have to speak up at times. This was the principle of grip Caleb. He couldn't remain silent. He couldn't be in agreement to them. No, he had to raise his voice. However, may I say that yes, it is true that Caleb stilled the people. But the harm was already done. You come into chapter 14 of Numbers. What do we read in the very opening verse? All the children, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, and you read on down to the verse 5. And there you have a glimpse of the mutiny that there was. You see, the harm was done. Here perhaps is a warning for our hearts and for our lives that if we remain silent, the harm in our province more difficult. Draw back. See the principle that gripped his life. Here's a man who silenced those voices that had heard of Tolson an evil report. But notice again the principle that gripped him. He throws in his support behind the Lord. The verse 6 of Numbers 14 tells us, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, many will bring us into the land. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. The verse 9 says. Verse 10, all the congregation, he had stoned them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. What is Caleb doing in these verses? Caleb is throwing his support behind the Lord. Caleb is saying, I'm on the Lord's side. Yes, I'm on the side of Moses. I'm on the side of the man. Caleb was first and foremost loyal to the Lord. Caleb was first and foremost loyal to the Lord and to His will. Remember, God had sent the spies. It was God's will that they should go and spy out the land. God has spoken to Moses, and Moses spake to the children of Israel. It was the Lord's will that Canaan be invaded. It was the Lord's will that Canaan be taken. It was the Lord's will that Israel would inhabit the land, and Caleb was supporting the doing of the Lord's will. And that's why we find him here in these verses 6 and following, supporting the work, doing the Lord's will. Therefore, to this cause he lent his support. Therefore, to this cause he put his shoulder to the task at hand. He placed his hands upon the plow, and he was going to plow a straight furrow for the Lord and for the Lord's will. And I want to say today, children of God, to you, what is the Lord's will for you today? Is it not to have the same principle that gripped Caleb's life, to be embraced within your heart and within your life? Follow the Lord, that we would throw in our support and behind His work. Cast in our lot. Say, here am I, what can I do? What is there in the temple of God's house? What is there in the sanctuary that I can do? You know, it's rewarding and encouraging sometimes when people come to the minister and say, do this? Can I do that? Can I come and sit amongst the boys and the girls? Can I tell a story? Can I lead? Can I do a work for God? You know, during our minister's week of prayer, one man prayed it. There were 100 men prayed this prayer. Said he, work for God. That would put themselves to the task, those that would put themselves forward to the work of the ministry, those who would put themselves forward as Sunday school teachers, those who would put themselves support. Here we have Caleb, and what is he doing? He is throwing in his lot behind the work of God. That's what God wants today. And here is Caleb, a man. This principle gripped his life. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. That's what God wants of you, brother. That's what God wants of you, sister. Let this principle be the principle of God. And then secondly, the person that guided him. In Joshua 14, in the verse 8. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. There we're given in that text of Scripture an insight into his inner life. There we see the hidden man of the heart. There we see the true man. We see his fear. Caleb was wholly committed to the Lord. Or if you want to reverse that order, Caleb was committed wholly to the Lord. With Paul, he was a man who could say, and he was an early Paul, as it were, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. I wholly follow the Lord, my God." Like King Uzziah, he put to death everything that would hinder him from walking with God. No, hearing is easy. It's easy to sit and to listen. It's easy to take in upon our souls the Word of God. But how to perform that we hear is difficult. It's true to say that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh. And it is true of all things in the Lord's service. Prayer, praise, preaching. It's difficult. But Caleb was plainly the Lord's, and this person is the one who guided him. "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Underline that. There is his personal claim upon the Lord. He is my and I am his. Here is truly a child. It was Christ that guided his life. And that's why Caleb was able to say, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." You know, there are other instances. And if we had time today, we could turn them and we would see that I fully follow the Lord my God. Perhaps you noticed in the reading in Joshua chapter 14 that three times that phrase is used, "But I wholly follow the Lord my God." Verse 9, "Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." There is another instance, the verse 14, "Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." There is the Lord's testimony of this man. And the person that guided him was Christ. Caleb was the Lord's. Now what does it mean to be led by Christ and have this person? What does that mean? Well, allowing Christ to guide the soul of the believer. I want to tell you that it will, in the first place, it will cost. It might cost. If you want to wholly follow the Lord, it will cost you. Remember Caleb. He was one of the leaders of the tribe of Judah. There were 11 others, Joshua and Caleb. But of the other 10, they were all leaders. These leaders would have known each other. These leaders would have been good friends. The one with the other. But because Caleb chose, put himself in peril. That tells me sometimes servants must follow. There are some friendships that are not of God. There are some friendships that will bring the soul of a young person or an older person further and further away from and from doing the Lord's will. And those friendships have to be severed. We are to wholly follow. Can two walk together except to be agreed? Can those of an unequal yoke walk together? If you're a saved young person or older person, your bosom buddy cannot be someone who is not of like precious. We have to seek fellowship with those of like precious here. Those who are born in the Spirit and washed in the blood of Christ. See, the person that guided them was Christ. When we allow Christ to guide us, cost. But what does it mean again to wholly follow the Lord? It means to fly in the face of human reasoning. To fly in the face of human logic. That's what it means. The 10 other spies, they reasoned amongst themselves that the task was too great. There as they spied out the land, as they looked and viewed it, they said the cities are too strong and the people too many. What is this? This is the language of human reasoning. And it's based upon human statistics. Yes, they had no power within and of themselves to deliver the land, but the Lord was with them. And the Lord had promised that He would go before them. Now these men, let's bear in mind, these leaders, they would have stood and witnessed the waters of the Red Sea divide when they come out of Egypt. These men would have seen the enemy drowned in the midst of the waters. They would have seen also how the Lord provided the manna, the quails, and the water. And yet still they doubted His capacity. After 40 years of providing for them in the wilderness, they doubted His power now. That's human nature. And I say, shame on those days. Shame on them. They didn't fully depend upon the Lord. You see, to wholly follow the Lord is to, with Christ, smile at impossibilities. Now, there are impossibilities. You might say, well, it's impossible for us to see revival in 2009. It's not. That's human reason. Say it is. You might say it's impossible that my loved one, that my son, that my daughter will come to faith in Christ. It's not. That's human reasoning. And you see, if we have this person to guide us, and this person to guide Caleb, but I wholly follow the Lord my God, it's to fly in the face of human reasoning. But you know what else? To wholly follow the Lord? To allow this person to guide us? What further does it mean? It means not to turn back. Not to turn back. There is a chorus so often. We sing, no turning back, no turning back. Have you turned back? Turn back. Then you are not wholly. You see, to wholly follow the Lord is to follow God without showing signs of inconsistency. That's where we get our title, the consistent Christian. See, for someone to wholly follow the Lord, to be guided by this person, is to be consistent without intermission. Caleb didn't fall. He didn't apostatize. And that's the proper definition of that word apostatize. It means to backslide. To turn our backs upon the Lord. And how is it that the child of God backslides? Well, I'll tell you how that we backslide. By turning our backs upon the Lord. By not reading our Bible. By not praying, we apostatize. And we show marks of inconsistency. That means we're not as Caleb, not wholly following. Let me ask, does this person, the guide of Caleb, guide you? Have the things of the world taken precedence and preference over you? Caleb didn't take his cue from those around him. Caleb determined himself to follow the Lord, and God blessed him. God will bless you if you determine to wholly follow the Lord. We have noted the principle that gripped him, the person that guided him, thirdly, the power that graced him. Caleb wasn't a remarkable man. He wasn't an outstanding pilgrim Christian. Your thoughts might be, well, I could never be like him. I could never live like him. I could never stand up and be so bold as he was. Well, that himself is. Others might say, well, if I were given the eminence, the preeminence amongst, standing amongst the people of God, and sometimes we're like that, we're vain fellows. Caleb was a man who was of stature amongst the people. And we would say to ourselves, well, if I had this, then I would wholly follow the Lord. But what about the other 10 that aren't those full sway? By being given a position of eminence among the rank and file of God's people, doesn't mean you're going to wholly follow them. These other 10. The power, the grace, Caleb. You turn back to Numbers chapter 14. I want you to notice the verse 24. Numbers 14. Verse 23 says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. This is the word of God. And this is the God speaking to Moses. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. Thank God. This is a good book. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now what is marvelous there in that verse is this. There we're told of the power that graced him. And what is that power? My servant Caleb, because he had, underline it, he had another spirit with him. He was not like the other 10. He was different. Another spirit indwelt him. It was the Spirit of God. You know, over there in Daniel chapter 6 in the verse 3, we're told about Daniel, how that he was viewed and seen and was observable in his life, that an excellent spirit was in him, a preeminent spirit. And this is how believers are enabled wholly to follow the Lord. We don't do it in our own strength. You don't wholly follow God in the strength that is in your flesh. You follow God. Because the flesh is an enmity against God. It will draw you further and further. And the same power that graced him is the Spirit that graces you. This power graces your life. Believer, it is a lie from hell which tells you that you can't follow the Lord as you ought. It's a lie from the pit. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now if you're saying to me today that you do not have this power, this other spirit, the grace Caleb, then what you're in fact saying is you're not saved. That's what you're saying. You're not saved. Let me say, Paul, let me quote from him again. If any man have not Spirit of Christ, he has none of his. Now do you see our feeble outcries at times, how weak and vain they are? Spirit of God. This is the power, the grace, another spirit. Third person is in your heart, in your life. Read John chapter 14. And there you read of another comforter. The disciples mourned the fact that Christ would go when he told them, I go to prepare a place for you. But he warned them and he consoled them and he said, I will send another comforter. Another of the same kind. The third person. And this is the spirit that graces the life of Caleb and the power that graces your life. Another spirit indwelt him. Another spirit helped him. He wasn't reliant upon his own strength because in and of that he was nothing but one or two with God as a majority. You know, it was 10 verses 2, but yet the minority. Because the children of Israel went forward into the minority. We are in this world a minority. Our God because of our earth. Let's remember this in closing. The 10 are not remembered while 2 are. 2009, you'd be one of the